From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WGDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGVZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
We're going to do the job. So, yeah, we know what's at stake. We know what's at stake for them. But there's a game to be played, so we got to make sure we're ready to play it the right way. And I just want to make sure that that we're on top of our game. And you have to get excited for these types of games. Obviously, again, this time of year, it's fun to be playing. It's fun to be playing these types of games, meaningful games, games where you don't have to be at your best. And so I think we should get excited for that challenge.
Yeah, they're excited. You excited?
Very.
How about the Twins? You excited about them?
A little bit.
Things not going so well in the for a while. They're getting a perfect game pitched against them through four. Now they've gotten they have three hits, or they've gotten more in the last minute or two, the last couple of minutes. They're down 3-0 to Detroit. But we'll give you updates this way. You stick with us, and we'll give you everything that you need to know about your Minnesota Twins. 4-0 now, top of the seventh. Your Twins behind 4-0. Got in trouble a little early with a couple of home runs. Did them in a couple of home runs. That'll do it to you. You know, you get a couple of home runs going. They got them in the bottom of the second for Detroit. Picked up three runs there. Another run in the bottom of the sixth. And David Price is slinging a pretty good one. Just allowed three hits to the Twins. No walks. Four strikeouts through 6 2/3 innings. So there. You got that? And now we're going to get to the NCAA, the national final tonight. Duke and not Kentucky. Wisconsin.
What happened?
Yeah, did you hear Wisconsin wound up beating Kentucky?
No, that's not possible.
Yeah, it's true. I know that Andrew Harrison was shocked by it, the Kentucky player. We're going to talk about that a little bit, too. But first I want to tell you that I have a friend whose father-in-law is a huge Gopher fan, right? So because it's a Big Ten team and, you know, it's Wisconsin, he was asked, will you be rooting for Wisconsin tonight? And his comment to my friend was, if Wisconsin was playing the Nazis, he would root for the Nazis. That, the depth of, and a lot of people are like that, they can't stand Wisconsin.
Yeah, that is some deep, deep hatred there.
It is, though, but I mean, you know what, I give people credit for being so diehard Gopher fans that it doesn't matter if it's a Big Ten school. What matters is that's the big rivalry. 651-989-9105 was a number if you'd like to chime in, check in, talk to us, tell us who you like tonight. I mean, I had Duke from the very beginning as my national champion. I did have Duke playing Kentucky, not playing Wisconsin. I had Wisconsin losing to Duke. Duke took care of business against Michigan State, and I think it's going to be a hell of a final. I do think Duke will win, but that Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker are two pretty darn good players, and they have other talent on that team too.
Mm-hmm.
Kaminsky was really good and frustrated, as I said, the heck out of Andrew Harrison. You know, there's a lot of people in the media that, you know what he said, right?
Yeah.
It was horrible. You know, but he used a term, he used the N-word to describe Kaminsky. And you know, obviously he's a tall, skinny Caucasian lad, so it made no sense. But a lot of people, just given Andrew Harrison, you know, some people would say, he shouldn't have said it. He did apologize, and he talked to Kaminsky, giving him a little bit of a free pass on it.
Yeah.
I think this kid is, he had a cooling off period. It wasn't like he was caught right on the court and it was raw emotion. He had time to settle down and think about it. And if you'll recall, in the region final, and I think it was Andrew, but it could have been Aaron. I mean, they're twin brothers. It could have been his brother. What happened there, where one of them, and I think it was Andrew, but I could be mistaken. It could have been Aaron, was benched, and he was not out on the floor when he wanted to be. They made a huge play, Kentucky did. Everybody on the team is up and cheering their heads off, right?
Yeah,
and what's that?
That'll happen.
Well, they were, except for Harrison. He was sulking on the bench. And that's, I don't know, it's terrible for them and their fans that they did not get a chance to complete the undefeated season. That would have been great for them, but they didn't. They got beat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they just, not all of them, but, well, it's Cauley Stein and Harrison walked off the floor, wouldn't shake hands. Assistant coaches went to go get them to tell them, you need to stay out on the floor. But they didn't. They were so, you know, upset that they lost, they left.
Well, I guess that's something you can look into a little bit as young guys, and they haven't lost all year, so they didn't know how to respond.
No. You know what? It's not the first time they've ever played a basketball game or the first time they've ever lost.
Well, they just felt like they're destined to do this. Nobody's going to beat them. So when
are
it
you
came
sticking
down
up for
it,
them walking off the floor? It's horrible sportsmanship.
No, I'm just saying.
They won't get the sportsmanship
they
trophy.
They that way because they're just young guys that hadn't lost at all this year. They just expected to win.
Sure they did. But that's no excuse to behave the way they did.
Yeah, they didn't realize they needed to earn this victory because Wisconsin's been playing. They played the top seed in every possible round thus far.
Okay, they were 38-0 going into that game, correct? Yes.
Yeah.
So 38 times this season, they beat teams, and those kids walked up to them and shook their hands through the line. They know what you're supposed to do when you lose. They caused the losses 38 times for other teams. They should be embarrassed. I mean, it shows a lack of respect for the other team, and it shows a lack of respect for your school and your coach to behave like that. Not all of them did. I mean, a lot of these kids showed class afterward. But a few of them just didn't know, you know, they couldn't handle it or didn't handle it properly. So for that, we may hear about them later in the day in a segment known as D-Bag of the Day. But we'll have to see because there could be plenty of eligible contestants. This, by the way, is the start of a great week in sports. So tonight, again, you got Duke versus Wisconsin for the national championship game. Today, the Twins open the season, and it's not going well. I mean, it's one game. Phil Hughes is on the mound, but it's still one game. It's not the end of the world for them. You also have the start of the Masters. It starts on Thursday. All these golfers are showing up today. They could have some rain later in the week, but that is a great, great event. As a matter of fact, well, we talked to Jim Suhan, 30. He's at the Twins game now. We'll probably talk to him. It should be over by then. I mean, he should be done interviewing guys by then, so we'll get a update out of Detroit from him. And then Jim is going to Augusta National for the Masters, so he'll keep us abreast of that. But there is other breaking news locally. There are several reports. Amanda Zowie B, best player in college basketball this year. I mean, best center, certainly. She and led the Gophers to the NCAA, had a really terrific season for them. She's declaring, and you don't hear this very often with college basketball players, women college basketball players, you don't hear. You hear from in the men's college basketball all the time, after a freshman or sophomore year, people turning pro. After her sophomore year, she is now turning pro. And can't really, I mean, it'd be great if she stuck around.
Yeah.
Because they could have one heck of a team next year.
But the WNBA has very strict rules about people declaring early.
We have to be 22.
Yeah, you need to turn 22
and she
in
is
the 22.
Calendar
year.
She will be 22. And, she's from Sweden. So what she can do, and a rookie contract, it's not like you come out in a WNBA, get this enormous contract. It's like 50 grand you get. However, a lot of these WNBA players, that's why they go overseas. They make hundreds of thousands of dollars overseas. And there are professional leagues in Sweden. She can go home and play in the WNBA offseason, you know, and make some really good money. Show her the money.
She's going to see a lot of it.
You know what? And I don't fault any young man or young woman who wants to go and take a shot at being a pro. If it doesn't work out, they can go back to college or they can go get a job like the rest of us have.
Yeah.
Join the real world. You know, you took your shot. If it works, great. If it doesn't, oh, well. I mean, the option always is there to go back to college. There'll be no scholarship. But what percentage would you say, 95 or higher percent of kids that go to school are not on any type of scholarship, or certainly not on you're talking to the 99th percentile of kids at college is not on an athletic scholarship. So you go back and you get your degree the way other people do. Or you go to work. You
that
toil.
Sounds fun.
That sounds fun. Which part, the work part or going back to school? Yeah. I bet the part about
just being an adult. Sounds
being
fun.
Being an adult, yeah. How long? You've been delaying it, though, haven't you, as long as possible?
I can't wait to get there, but I don't want to get there.
Well, I don't exactly blame you for that. Now, let's go back to the championship game, tonight's game. Give me this. Now, you're going with whom?
Wisconsin.
Okay, tell me why they'll win. why you're hoping they win, you think they'll win. There's a difference there.
Just the combination of Kaminsky and Decker, the way they've been performing in the tournament, is just outstanding. I think it's really going to be interesting to see Kaminsky try that little chicken wing move to move around Jahlil Okafor, because I don't think he's going to be able to move him.
I don't think so either.
But they need somebody to go out to the perimeter and guard this seven-footer that can shoot from all spots on the floor. I think Wisconsin gets it done. Last I saw, I think they're just about a one-point favorite.
The thing about the game, and we'll talk to, actually, we'll have Kelly in Vegas on, at Kelly in Vegas on Twitter, to talk about where the spread is and what she sees, and we'll have Marcus Fuller. We'll talk to him about tonight's game and also about Amanda Zowie B declaring for the WNBA draft. But I'm really looking forward. What they have is the three kids that really make that team go are Okafor, local lad, our guy, Tyus Jones, and also Justice Winslow, I mean, another freshman. They have to contend with those guys, too. Because any one of the three could take over a game. I thought the national semifinal game, Tyus looked terrific. He made some great plays in that game. I think it looked terrific through. I mean, there's been some times where it wasn't, you know, he might have made a little bit of a mishap, but the maturity he shows is pretty impressive. And apparently, there's a number of teams that already they're scouting him already. NBA teams with the expectation that he will declare.
I kind of hope he sticks around, even though I'm not a fan of Duke in general. I kind of hope he sticks in school and maybe puts on a little weight.
Well, I mean, if he does decide to do that, then I think his career, however long he's there, will be very good. But what we don't know is what he may have made this decision, he and Okafor, because they went as a tandem, which, you know, they said, we will go to the same school. And if you recall last year, because we had him on quite a bit, Tyus Jones, when he was still a high school senior at Apple Valley. And it was very important that he and Okafor go to the same school. Baylor was in the running and Michigan State were in the running. We got a call here. Let's go to that.
We got Shane.
Shane, how are you?
Good, Bob. How are you?
Good. What are you thinking tonight?
You know, I think a lot of people around here are on the Wisconsin bandwagon, and as they should be, rep the Big Ten and all that kind of thing. But I think they're going to have their hands full tonight. I think Jahlil, and they're just too athletic up front in the backcourt with Cook and Winslow and Tyus. And I think Jahlil is going to tell Frank Kaminsky what's up tonight.
I think it's going to be a great battle, though, between those two. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Now, you're a big NBA guy, too.
Huge NBA guy, yeah.
Where do you see Kaminsky going? How deep will he go before he's drafted?
I don't know, but I would not want him on my team. I don't think he's built for the NBA. I think he's going to be one of those guys that we look back 10, 15 years from now and say, he sure was a good college career, good college player for Wisconsin. But I could see him playing over in Europe and being kind of a centerpiece on some European team. But his body is not built for the NBA. He'd get his butt kicked night in and night out, I think, in the NBA.
You just think he's too slight?
I think he's too slight. He doesn't have I don't think he has the mindset. I think he's too much of a scorer. I don't think that's going to translate for him.
He'll get you some rebounds.
Huh?
Shane, he'll get you some rebounds.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not a great defensive presence. You got to play, if you're going to be a big in the NBA right now, unless you're a monster type of player in the paint, you got to be a defensive orientated guy to make it in the NBA right now.
Let me ask you this. Can he be a 7-foot small forward?
I don't think those exist, Bob.
Well, I mean, but look at this. I mean, he can shoot.
But not with the efficiency that he's going to have.
Well, he's going to have to put the weight on and play power forward. He's not going to be a center in the NBA.
Yeah, no. And who knows? I mean, I could be very wrong. He could be a nice stretch four. I was talking to some Badger fans actually a couple weekends ago. I mean, obviously they're a little biased, but they were saying he's going to be the next Dirk Nowitzki, and I almost fell to the floor.
He has to put some muscle on.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to be the next Ryan Kelly or Kelly Olynyk at best.
Well, why do you, why don't you think that he could, because clearly at Wisconsin he has not put on the muscle or the weight that an NBA team could not get him to do it?
Well, he doesn't have the upside, Bob. I think what you got right now with Frank Kaminsky is what you're going to get with Frank Kaminsky. I don't think he's going to develop a ton. I don't think there is a huge upside for him. I think you're getting what you got right now, unlike a Jahlil or a Towns or someone like that, where there's just, I mean, obviously upside through the roof. I think Kaminsky will go late first round. Probably some team is going to get him in the first round. Maybe, honestly, he could go into some sort of contending team, maybe a Clippers team or something like that in the late first round, and be a contributor off the bench. I could see him being finding a nice little role like that. But he's definitely not going to be a featured player like he is now.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't think his draft positioning will be written until after he faces Okafor. If he does well against him, he could start to move up quickly. So, because that's what he's going to be judged by. Shane, always great talking to you. Shane is our Timberwolves, our listener correspondent. Also now, apparently, our player personnel director.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob. Have a good day.
All right, take care, Shane. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll have a little Monday meltdown, something, a little blast from the past. Also, threesome, three questions. We'll give you the answers. You can join in, 651-989-9105. And by the way, you want to stay with us because we will be giving away tickets to the Twins opener a week from today. That's something you don't want to miss. We will be right back.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
It's a magic number. Yeah, it is. It's a magic number. Somewhere in that ancient mystic trinity, you'll get three. It's a magic number. In the past, in the present, in the future. Faith and hope and charity. In the heart, in the brain, in the body, you'll get you three. It's a magic number. It takes 3 legs to make a tripod or to make a table stand. And it takes 3 wheels to make a beam.
I know.
You know what?
Somebody messed with the headphones, so keep going back and forth from one piece to the other. Anyway, welcome back! All right, before we do the threesome, let's give them we were talking about it during the break, a quick recap of where your Wild stand. They win tonight over Winnipeg, they clinch a playoff spot, correct?
Yes. Unless they win in overtime and L.A. wins tonight as well. We need L.A. to lose in regulation if we win in overtime.
Okay. And they're at 96 points. And if they get the spot. But here, you know, all last week we were looking at it and saying, well, they need to win and they need to get that first spot as the wild card. Because then the likelihood is they could avoid Anaheim. Well, that may not be the point, because you were pointing out, right, St. Louis has a game in hand. St. Louis is 105 points, Anaheim's at 107. So it's possible that Anaheim could wind up with the second best record in the West.
Yeah, they could easily fall back, but they do have two games that should be pretty easy. They home against Dallas, and then they go on the road and play Arizona, who's got the worst record in the Western Conference.
Well, but let's say, you got two games for Anaheim, three for St. Louis. They both win out. Do you know what the tiebreaker is?
I don't know who holds that tiebreaker. The only one I know for sure is L.A. has the tiebreaker over Winnipeg.
All right, well, you know what? If you could, check that out while we do the threesome so we can let people know. Because it certainly exists the possibility that there will be a tiebreaker. And the shootout the other night with Detroit helped the Wild by getting them a point. They're at 96 now. Winnipeg's at 92. L.A. still trying to catch Calgary for the third spot, also at 92, so Los Angeles can still get into the postseason as one of the wild cards. So that's a possibility that continues to exist. And we'll, it will play itself out over the next several days, but it's good to just have it, to know exactly where your team can be if they win tonight, or they're going to wind up making, I still don't see a scenario where they don't make the postseason.
Yeah.
So, all right, what's your first, what's the first deal?
Hey, Bob, it's Mr. X. I have three questions for you. Number one, it's your last chance. Are you going to change your mind? Who wins tonight, Wisconsin or Duke?
I'm not changing my mind. I had Duke in three, count them, three brackets. So I am not changing my mind at all. It's Duke all the way. And I still think, unless something has changed there, that I could win that Brad Johnson Celebrity Challenge, the celebrity portion of it, if Duke winds up winning. So I'm not giving up on him. No way, no how. What else do you have?
Number two, Mike Pelfrey got rocked and gave up 4 home runs in his final spring start. Is this a sign of things to come?
I'll tell you what, today's a sign of things to come. The Twins better hope not, because the season opener... Not a middle of the eighth inning, and your Twins are down 4-0 to a Detroit team that David Price, one of the better pitchers, one of the best pitchers in the American League, 8 innings, just given up 3 hits. Five strikeouts, not a single walk. And if you want, Kenny Vargas has a hit. Kurt Suzuki and Jordan Schrader, the only, those are your hits. So your top four batters right now are combined 0 for 12. Danny Santana, Brian Dozier, Joe Mauer, and Torrey Hunter. 0 for 12. And it's now the middle of the eighth inning. So the Detroit's going to be coming up. The Twins will have one more crack at it. And we'll see how that goes for the club. You got more? You always got more.
Yeah.
And finally, the Wild can clinch a playoff spot tonight by beating Winnipeg. Do they get the job done?
I think they will. They're home. The last home game, right?
Yeah.
This is it for them. I think they will get this final home game win in, and then we'll see how. And then, as Kirby Puckett was known to say many, many times, let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah.
Let the chips fall, they may.
It's last home game. Winnipeg doesn't have Dustin Byfuglien. I believe he's still suspended.
Yep.
And he's one of their better players, so it should make things a little bit
easier. Well, and the fact that you're home, you should be okay. And even the other night, like I said, it came down to a shootout. But you'd love to see them go charging into the postseason, not limping into it.
And Mikko Koivu should be back tonight after missing Saturday's game with a little eye injury.
Hey, he's your captain. He's your leader.
Yeah. Oh,
he's your captain. I mean, I don't think there's any people know who the leader. I mean, he's a leader on the team, but Parisi and Suter are the guys that are viewed as the true leaders of that team, particularly Parisi and, of course, a fellow by the name of Devin Dubnyk, the Duber. He's certainly a bit of a leader himself. Now we have another bonus for you. You put together a little our Monday meltdown, and I don't know who it is. You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you share it with everyone? And by the way, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. If you would like to call and tell Hellboy this is the meltdown you should use next Monday. We'll probably go baseball with the Twins home opener next week, and basketball certainly will be done.
Find something.
Yeah, you always come up with something. You know, there aren't many golf meltdowns, are there? I'm trying to think. He's gotten pissy a few times at a news conference, but I don't remember being at a meltdown.
Unless you consider meltdown in the style of play.
Oh, in the play,
like,
yes.
Like Norman.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Norman, I remember that year. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was the same year the Gophers won their first NCAA hockey championship. Back when Jordan Leopold was he won the Hobie Baker that year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was that year because I was at the Masters. I left Friday night after the second round and went to cover the championship game on Saturday. This was Norman was rolling, and I came back and he was still in control Saturday. You know, when I got missed Saturday, came back, and then Sunday there was the great meltdown. Didn't go well.
No.
Didn't go well at all for him. Anyway, let's see who you got.
You remember Jerry McNamara, basketball player for Syracuse?
Yeah.
This is Jim Boeheim talking about Jerry McNamara.
Go ahead.
And, you know, Jerry's been very consistent for us all year, his whole career. I have to laugh a little bit when our own paper is calling him and our own student newspaper is calling him overrated. And they actually listen to a couple of assistant coaches who I guarantee it will never be head coaches if they think Jerry McNamara is overrated. Of course, our paper won't print that anyway because that's, you know, somebody said it. Without Jerry McNamara, we wouldn't have won 10 games this year, okay? Not 10. These other guys just aren't ready. They needed him. Without him there, not 10. We wouldn't be here to even have a chance to play this game. And everybody's talking to me and writing about Jerry McNamara. It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years. And especially when it comes from our people, in our papers. But they're quoted from somebody else, an anonymous assistant coach. Let the assistant coach come up to me and say, Jerry McNamara is overrated. I'd like to see one of those guys come up to me and say that. He's been double-teamed every game this year, and the coaches voted him first-team all-conference. The head coaches, they don't know, I guess.
He was ripping his own assistants?
No, he was ripping the assistants from
But was it his assistants who said it? That's unclear. If it was his assistants who said it or assistants from another team.
Yeah, I don't think it was his assistants, much worse.
Oh, yes, it does. Oh, that would have been horrible.
Oh, yeah, our star player? Yeah, I don't like him. He's overrated. Who says that about their best guy?
Oh, that would have been something. I met the first time I've seen him at you know, Final Fours and big events, but my first one-on-one with Jim Boeheim was back in the late 70s. there was a kid in South Jersey named Rick Harmon, phenomenal player. He played center. He was a point center on that team. He was the biggest kid on the team, 6'4", 6'5". He did everything. He brought the ball up. You know, he was their lead. He scored average 30, 35 points a game, grabbed just about every rebound, took his team deep into the state tournament, and it was all him and no one else. And he wound up going to Syracuse. Sadly for him, he had some knee injuries. He never really developed into the type of player. Look, because he was put together. You know how Shane was talking about how Kaminsky is?
Mm-hmm.
This kid had a NBA body as a high school senior. I mean, it was like Karl Malone's body. That's what the kid was put together like. And it's a shame that it never worked. But Boeheim, he just didn't have any interest. I was working for the Atlantic City Press. He just blew me off. You know, he was there for the signing. It's not like he was there recruiting him. He couldn't talk about it. It was already a done deal, and he didn't want to be bothered at all. A lot of people aren't real crazy about Boeheim. You know, he doesn't exactly exude warmth.
He's kind of leaving the program in a little bit of disarray, I guess you could say. He's resigning in 2 years.
Yeah, but who announces that? I'll be here for another couple of years. I mean, that really sets up the next coach. Kids are going to go there not to play for you. I mean, kids that know they're not going to be one and done. That was a bad thing that the administration allowed him to do.
Mm-hmm.
They should have just, look, you want to leave, fine, but don't say it until your final year.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to be able to recruit kids to stick around. That was not a good thing at all. Let me tell you a few of the people we have to talk to. We're going to talk to Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. He does a show on the weekend, One and Done, with Hardwood Rob talking basketball. That's what we're going to talk to him about. Talk about tonight's game and also about Amanda Zowie B turning pro. We'll have Kelly in Vegas, at Kelly in Vegas. Kelly on top of what the point spread is, and we'll get her take on tonight's game. We're going to have that, should we call it a game show? Sort of a game show. Okay. You're going to have to, the one winner will emerge. We can take up to four people at once?
Mm-hmm.
We'll take up to four callers for Twins tickets for the home opener. Don't be too down about this game. Don't be too down because Irvin Santana's gone for 80 games. Don't be too down about that. Still a Twins home opener. You'll have a great time. We'll have Jim Suhan, of course, from Detroit, and the St. Paul Saints executive VP, Tom Whaley. We talked to him a little bit about the Saints, but he has an opinion on everything, so I want to get his opinion on tonight's game, too. And he knows all sports, not just baseball. But anyway, we got a great show for you. Stick around. We'll be right back with Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press.
We're in the Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
I guess now we have to talk to Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com about the Gophers, because you're playing that dang Gopher music. Marcus, how are you?
Pretty good. Shocking news, obviously, on the women's side.
So it's a done deal?
They announced it. She's leaving after her sophomore year, which I've only talked to one person now, a college basketball analyst, thinks it's the first ever in the women's game, but
first ever what?
First ever women's player to declare early for the WNBA draft after their sophomore year.
No, there have been others, because I saw a story and they identified a couple of them who left. I mean,
Candace Parker was one of them.
Candace Parker, and
she
left after her
junior in Tennessee.
Yeah,
not after your sophomore year.
Yeah, Candace Parker left after junior year.
Yeah. What about the kid at Notre Dame who's going to be 22 before and draft eligible? Is she a sophomore? There's a terrific one of the players at Notre Dame, I think, it might be in that same situation. I'll take a look at it, because I know I came across it earlier. And
I mean, sophomore year is pretty much unheard of. And, she's an international player, and they've been playing. She's been basically playing professionally, since she was, 14 years old, overseas. And, it's a tough decision a lot of times for those international players to come and play college basketball, in the U.S., talking on the women's side.
Yep.
Because, a lot of times they're playing at a high level already internationally.
Well, the reason she's doing that, obviously she has a chance to make some money. It's not really the WNBA money that would make someone come out early. It's the fact you could play internationally for big bucks. And for her, she's going to be 22. She grew up in Sweden. it could be like going home for her, and it's not daunting to leave. You know, a lot of these kids are still kids when they're out, and the idea of playing internationally could be scary to them. To her, it's not that at all.
Yeah, I don't. I actually think that this is not something that you know you can just chalk it up and say, hey, you know, she wants to go and make money. You know, this is a huge decision that impacts a lot of people, and you know, you do have to look at the coaching staff. The fact that, you know, Marlene Stallings only been here 1 year, and you know, there are quite a few players that have transferred, and now Zali goes pro after sophomore year. You know, I think Marlene is you know, she's building something special with her style of play, and obviously she went back to the NCAA tournament, but it's alarming when this all this happens in 1 year.
Well, do you think some of it is just that all these kids were recruited by someone else, or the ones that have left all were recruited by someone else?
Well, I mean, you know, you make it to the NCAA tournament and you think that, you know, everything's fine. There's excitement coming back, with Rachel Banham and Amanda Zali and Carly Wagner. So you expect, you know, them to feel pretty good about the program moving forward. But again, you know, I think that this is more than just, Amanda Zali feeling like she wants to go pro and make money.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, you know, for a lot of the players that are returning, you can't replace someone like that. And next year's team is, you know, their expectations are going to be lowered quite a bit. And, you know, you question if they can even make it to the NCAA tournament if they don't fill that void.
Well, and if they had Amanda Zali B and Rachel Banham, I mean, they were contenders for a national title.
And, you know, I think that anytime that you're looking at a first-year coach, Bob, like you mentioned it, you can expect some players to not buy into the new coach and a new system and possibly leave. But for six players to leave before Zali made her announcement, now seven, you know, this is a kind of uncharted territory. And, you know, again, Zali B leaving, I think it's a surprise, you know, to a lot of people.
Talking to Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, every Saturday morning, 10 to 11, does the one-and-done show with Hardwood Rob. Marcus, what is it about Marlene Stallings that they're leaving over? Is she too harsh on him? I mean, is there a reason that you know of, have heard of, or that you can put a finger on? What is it about her coaching that would have kids leaving? That is seven. Seven is an astounding number.
I wouldn't speculate at all on that, but I do think that there's a difference between Stallings' coaching style and Pam Borden. You know, and some people from the outside, some experts would say that, you know, that she got more out of this team or some of the players because she has a different type of coaching style. You know, a little bit more abrasive and, you know, demands obviously, her players to be in really high level, shape. I mean, you know, their off season workouts were strenuous and demanding. And, you know, I think obviously Amanda had to lose weight in order to play in the system. She did that. It helped her game. You know, everything that from the outside, when you talk to players about, Stallings, you know, everything they said, you know, there were high remarks about the coaching staff and about the things that were going on. So, you know, the players that left did not play too much. That was part of it. But again, I think it is part of the coaching style. You know, just like when you're dealing with, you know, Tubby Smith had a lot of transfers when he was at the U. Some people can deal with it, some people can't. And, you know, one thing about Tubby is he recruited a lot of the players who ended up leaving.
Yeah.
But Marlene, you know, all the players that left were Pam Borden's players.
Well, she's got a lot more scholarships to work with than she planned on. You know,
one big scholarship in Zali that you just can't fill. I mean, this late in the recruiting process, you know, I know she's in on a couple transfers. But, you know, you're talking about the best center in the country. I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, the Jahlil Okafor of the women's college basketball game.
Yeah, she did have one heck of a season. But, the one thing that the most unfortunate thing is everyone who follows the women's team, and even people that are just casual followers, was very, and I was too, very curious to see how she and Rachel Banham, how the heights they could take that program to, but no one will find out. Speaking of heights to be taken to, Marcus Fuller, tonight, who are you going with?
Well, I picked Wisconsin to beat Kentucky. You know, because their offense, I think is, on a level that we haven't seen in college basketball in a long time. You know, they just have so many ways to score, and Bull Ryan just picks apart defenses, even the best defense, in a long time in college basketball. He was able to find mismatches and exploit those. And I just think Duke is, you know, Kentucky, one of the reasons why they have struggled against Wisconsin is because they were so young in a lot of different areas. You know, and I think that with Duke is the same way. I mean, you know, as much as Tyus Jones and Jahlil Okafor and Justice Winslow played beyond their years, you know, playing against Wisconsin, as disciplined as they are, you know, and as experienced as they are, having been there before in the Final Four, I just don't think Duke can handle it. And you know, I think Duke beating Wisconsin before will add a lot of fuel to the fire for the Badgers, having lost in Madison early in the year.
Yeah, but isn't that's kind of it's kind of is it overstating it a little bit? If you can't get up for a national championship game and you need fuel to the fire, there's something wrong with you to start.
Oh
with.
No, you know, I think what it is you know, I think that you're already pretty amped for the national championship game. That's obvious. But, you know, it helps you take it to just an even greater level. Like, I think Wisconsin, the way they celebrated after beating Kentucky, it was like they won the national title.
Well, better hope that they get off that high then.
So, well, they will. I mean, the Bo Ryan won't let them be hot for too long. But, you know, the way they celebrated, you can tell that they treated that game even bigger than, hey, we're in the Final Four. And like I said, I think, you know, being in a championship game is one thing. Playing a team that you already lost to, that they lost in Madison to, I think will take their game to an even higher level. And I just see Wisconsin pulling this one out.
Well, I mean, obviously I'm looking forward to it. I think we all are to see how it turns out. I like Duke because I like, I like Tyus Jones because he's, I mean, I got to know him, got to know his, you know, his mom a little bit. And we hope to have, actually, we had his mom on last week. After this, Duke wins, we hope to have his mom, Tyus, and Trey Jones on, sometime this week because it's a great story that, you know, that they've put together. Both Trey and Tyus, with Trey winning, you know, leading Apple Valley as a freshman, being their point guard, having a great freshman year, and taking his brother's spot.
Didn't Debbie call it the fact that Trey beat the undefeated Chapin Park, and that, you know, hey, you know, we're a similar situation, you know, but
except they won't get to play against.
No, they won't. No, but
she liked Wisconsin too, though.
I think she predicted that Kentucky was not gonna go undefeated. You know, I think she saw that coming.
Yeah, then she was right. Now, well, Marcus, I'd love to talk to you about this because this whole Andrew Harrison thing and how some of these players behaved after we're just walking off the court. I know it's your first loss, but you got to show more class than what some of these kids did.
Oh, and I think it starts from the top. You know, yeah. I think Calipari, you know, dealing with so many young players every year, you know, he obviously gets them because he showed that he can take them to the NBA, but I don't know how much they're developing as far as their character, you know, becoming men, becoming respectable. You know, I don't think they learned that necessarily in 1 year, and obviously Andrew Harrison and Aaron Harrison, those guys have been there for more than 1 year. It's a shame, you know, I think everybody's competitive. In a situation like that, you've been dreaming about being undefeated and, you know, to lose, that way, you know, was devastating for these guys, but to not shake hands after the game.
No, terrible.
To have that kind of remark, you know, racial slur referring to Frank Kaminsky. You know, I mean, anytime that you deal with that kind of situation, it's an embarrassment to not just to Kentucky, but really, you know, to the college basketball, you know, but I think that, you know, immediately in this day and age with social media, you can, you know, apologize and hopefully get past that. And I think it's going to be a great game tonight, and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I am too. Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, and also on Saturday mornings, 10 to 11, right here on 105 The Ticket, One and Done. With Hardwood Rob. Marcus, great talking to you. And Twins just, it's a final. Twins lose 4-0 to Detroit.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, take care, Marcus. We'll come right back again. Twins lose 4-0 in the Major League debut of manager Paul Molitor there in Detroit. They'll be in there, you know, this week, and they won't be home till next Monday, when, by the way, we're going to have a little quiz type thing for you, give away tickets. But we're going to come right back, talk to Kelly at Kelly in Vegas on Twitter about tonight's spread and where she sees this game going. Be right back with Kelly.
One and Done. 1 hour of basketball talk every Saturday morning at 10 with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press and Hardwood Rob.
Malik Ellison's the guy they really want,
and he's the type of freshman that could come in. He might even start. I mean, he's that good. 6'6", the son of Never Nervous Purvis.
One of the all-time great nicknames, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you have Rick Pitino and Never Nervous Purvis in the stands, Minnesota games next year.
I'm cool with that.
Tune in every Saturday morning at 10. One and done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.